As we rapidly approach the new year, and many of us are contemplating our goals for 2023, I thought it timely to give a reminder of why goals fail, so that you can avoid them and create goals that stick. I set goals every year. Some I reach, some I don't, but that's okay if I have a good enough reason. Typically, it's not because it's not important or relevant to me, but that thing no longer fits with the direction that I want to go in. Flexibility and the ability to critically review your goals are really important. So why do goals fail? Did you know that statistics show that most New Year's resolutions are abandoned by the 15th of January? That's a little over 2 weeks after starting. Over the years, I've spotted several reasons why goals fail, both with myself and with my clients. So number one, the goal isn't yours. It's something that someone else thinks you should do, be or have. For example, a partner, parents, boss or friends. If that's the case, you're never going to be as motivated as you would if it were a genuine, deep-rooted want. Number two, it's something you think you should do, be or have because that's what everyone else is talking about or going after. For example, a big career, fancy house, fantastic six-pack. But deep down, it doesn't feel authentic or something that you really want. Number three, you limit yourself by setting goals that are too small or not in line with your true desires. For example, you set goals that you think you can achieve rather than stretching yourself and going after something more significant. Limiting beliefs are typically at the bottom of this reason. Number four, you don't have a plan for how you're going to achieve it, including daily activities necessary. And maybe most importantly, you don't have a plan for what you're going to do, A, when you don't feel like doing it, or B, when life gets in the way. Number five, you go at it too hard from the outset, which is overwhelming to your nervous system, resulting in self-sabotage. Number six, you don't give yourself time to create new habits necessary to sustain the activities needed to complete your goal, which again results in self-sabotage. Number seven, you don't have a big enough why. Most people don't consider why they want to do, be or have the thing, but I guarantee you that if the why isn't big enough, it's unlikely that you'll reach it. Self-sabotage. I've talked a lot about self-sabotage in previous articles. For most of us, starting to work on a new goal is exciting. It also produces significant amounts of dopamine, the reward chemical, which is responsible for making us feel good about our progress, helping to propel us forward in those first few days or weeks. However, suppose you don't have a realistic step-by-step plan around how you will reach your goal. In other words, you decide to wing it. If that's the case, as soon as the going gets tough, which it will, your nervous system will perceive a threat and attempt to stop you, usually through procrastination, moving you back to a place it's familiar with, even if the original place is painful. Your brain will always try to move you away from anything it perceives could be painful and back to the comfort of what it knows, even if, in the long run, the new thing would be more advantageous. Examples of this pleasure-pain theory are when someone stays in a job they hate way too long because they may hate the new job even more, applying the better the devil you know standpoint. Alternatively, someone may lose a substantial amount of weight, garnering plenty of previously unwitnessed attention, and before long, they put all the weight back on because suddenly being seen is uncomfortable and the subconscious judges it as being unsafe. For more on this topic, I've lots of information in my article as the science behind self-sabotage and overcoming self-sabotage, the links are below. Know when to quit. It's essential that we talk about when to quit. I've seen some people tie themselves up in knots because they aren't a quitter and therefore they have to achieve a goal at all costs, even when it no longer serves them. As I said at the beginning of the article, I used to do this, but I don't any longer. Instead, I regularly review my goals to ascertain whether they still fit with where I am, what I'm working on, and what's important to me, rather than beating myself up for not achieving something that's no longer relevant. Consciously reviewing your goals from time to time, drawing a line under those that no longer fit with where you are and what you want now, does not make you a loser. On the contrary, it makes you a winner for not wasting valuable time, energy, and other resources on unimportant, outdated goals. For more information on how to set goals that stick, visit the article I wrote last January on this topic.